This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Good morning and welcome. Stay warm, my friends. It is 7:07, time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Yep, we're making Mondays great, and it is a very, very chilly start. Be prepared for that this morning. Nice little break, though, maybe get you even more into the holiday, the festivities, and all of that. And I hope you had a really great, safe Thanksgiving holiday, I guess we'd call it. 4-day weekend for a lot of folks.
Oh, yeah. It was nice.
And, yep, I enjoyed it. I got to see little Thomas, my grandbaby.
Awesome.
And enjoy very good food because we got to take in two Thanksgivings, Betsy's family and stuff, and then with my kids, et cetera. And it was a nice time. Didn't spend a lot of time like on the road, and it was kind of this over Tampa Bay, like boom, hit it, you know, and then get back kind of thing. So it was perfect.
Luckily, Thursday was nice enough as planned, so we were able to actually eat on the patio. And
yeah, because you had a crowd.
Yeah, but it wasn't as big as last year, but there's about 13 of us.
That's
crowd.
That's a baker's dozen, I tell you.
Yeah,
but I have a feeling none of them were bakers. Which leads to me to my horrendous story.
Oh, good. Can hardly wait.
So I come to my, you know, the kids, and I got them a couple of little trinkets here and there, and I've got little Thomas St. Louis Blues, license plate.
Right.
Because his dad is huge, and I know you're a Blues fan, too. So he was all excited. Not Thomas.
Yeah.
Dustin.
His dad.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway, but it was all good. And then I presented the key lime pie, in which I could proudly say I made this myself. I cracked the eggs. I literally squeezed the limes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, it was under the direction. Betsy kind of guided me through it. And she used to make key lime pies that were just out of this world. So following her directions.
Oh, no.
Yeah, not so good.
Really?
Well, key lime pudding, if you like that. Not pie.
It never gelled up good or whatever?
We took them out of the fridge and we kept them, of course, cold. You know, you have to do that in the cooler. Got ice in there, everything. And, I don't know if that was where the breakdown was or something. Just wasn't right. Because it's not a difficult recipe. I mean, it's condensed milk, you know, some lime, a little bit of salt in there, and you got your egg yolks. I mean, it's not tough. But, yeah, it didn't turn out so well. And they were laughing. Oh, Dad, good try. Meanwhile, one of my daughters, you know, works part-time at a bakery.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, yeah, she brought this chocolate macadamia pecan masterpiece.
Ooh.
And a pumpkin pie that I don't think I've ever had one that good before.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, I was outmatched to begin with, and then it sort of became kind of a joke.
If you got somebody who actually works at a bakery, maybe you don't bake something. Maybe you go a totally different direction.
I like what you're saying there. Lesson learned.
Yep.
All right. South Carolina, weird story, follow-up story to a weird story coming up next. But first, Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines, and good morning, Pete.
The newscast at the top of the hour mentioned something that's very important, that this pardon is going to close the books on Hunter Biden's nefarious schemes with all these foreign countries he was working for. And that makes it an exceptionally brilliant legal move, because since Joe Biden was actually an unindicted co-conspirator with Hunter on all these deals, and he was the big guy that was getting money shoveled in his direction, by pardoning Hunter and closing the books on those cases, Joe Biden actually pardoned himself. Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, no, yep. In essence, that's exactly what occurred there. And then the other thought would be, okay, even if this wasn't the situation, which it is, but how much time does the Trump administration want to spend going backwards, if you will, when ultimately, what was that one prosecutor said? He's an elderly man with limited memory and capacity, right, or something. Mm-hmm. But he's fine being a president, giving the nuclear codes all day. Right. But
look, he didn't go after Hillary. He wasn't going to go after Joe. He's got his own things, his own agenda to take care of,
and we're super excited about that. And the picks, I was talking about Kash Patel and what a great pick he's going to be for the FBI. And yeah, I'm very excited. It's probably the most excited that I can recall being about an incoming president already hitting the ground running. Like, I was excited the first time Trump won, but man, oh man, there's a lot of potholes on the way. Hopefully he's going to be able to, just get on in there and get some stuff done. All right, here's a follow-up. Do you remember the story I gave you? If you didn't, it was last week, and it was like an entire police force quit. Mm-hmm. Now, it's an entire police force of a little town. I think there was like a police chief and like four.
Four cops, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, wow. And I was saying, well, man, if you're looking for a job, this, McCall, North Carolina, if you're looking for a gig, they're probably looking for cops or whatever.
Yeah.
So listen to this story. I just happened to see it on some of the side headlines. A South Carolina mayor died in a head-on vehicle crash while being pursued, and it's in quotations.
Yeah.
While being pursued by law enforcement just days after his town's entire police department quit.
Oh, my goodness.
McCall Mayor George Garner II, 49, killed Tuesday afternoon when the vehicle he was driving collided head-on with a truck. When the incident occurred, Mr. Garner was being pursued by a Marlboro County deputy. The pursuit, according to this source, was not related to any laws being broken. The pursuit was taking place in an effort to protect the well-being of Mr. Garner, the mayor.
Okay.
A pursuit for his well-being. They didn't elaborate further, apparently. Hmm. South Carolina Law Enforcement Division spokeswoman Renee Wunderlich told WBTW that the agency had an active and ongoing investigation linked to Garner, but wouldn't provide further details. SLED, their acronym. Thank you. For South Carolina Law Enforcement Division. They did not immediately respond for request of comment by Fox News.
Huh.
It happened after the police force in McCall, a town of about 2,000 residents near the state's border with North Carolina, walked off the job last week. It's with a heavy heart I confirm my resignation as chief of police of McCall Police Department, along with all four of my fellow officers. That's what the chief, Bob Hale, wrote on Facebook. My personal decision to step away from McCall Police Department can be attributed to repeated acts of harassment, personal attacks on my character, and the overall creation of a hostile work environment perpetuated by a specific councilman. Now, I don't know, is mayor, it depends on how it's set up. The mayor can't also be a councilman, or it can be a separate sort of entity. The former police chief added that the actions of the unnamed councilman made it impossible for the department to function effectively. He said, for months, I've endured unwarranted and malicious behavior aiming at undermining my integrity and leadership. Not only affected me personally, but also created a toxic atmosphere that hindered the department's ability to function effectively, et cetera, et cetera.
What a weird story.
An odd, weird story leads to another weird thing. Just the mayor dies in a head-on collision.
They're pursuing him to protect him from something. And it's a deputy, which is not
tied to McCall police. He was in Marlboro County. Yeah.
Wow. That is weird.
It is. I There's probably a lot more to that story. Heck, this will probably be another one of those, what, mini-series like that? Remember the other big scandal involving?
Oh, yeah.
All right, it is 7:16. You know what that means, right? Time for What's Bugging You? Your chance to call in, air it out, get it off your chest. Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. So call in now, 877-975-9825. What's Bugging You is next on 97.3 The Sky.
The Blame Game.
You gotta love these idiots.
Republicans lay the blame at the feet of Joe Biden.
Donald Trump.
Don't blame us.
It just keeps happening.
Sound off.
The country is going insane.
What's bugging you? Call now. News Talk 97.3. The Sky.
Good morning. Happy Monday. We're making it great. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And it is time now for What's Bugging You? A chance for you to call in and get off your chest. It's brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. 877-975-9825. Call in now. If you don't get through right away, give it another shot. Call back. And let's go to Tony. What's bugging you?
What's bugging me is that we all know that the alleged President Biden has went ahead and pardoned his son, who was actually convicted. And he's doing everything he can, Bob, to take care of his son. But he's not taking care of the sons and daughters in North Carolina that right now they had below freezing temperatures. It's almost like the government, no, it is like the government has forgotten these people. But unless you're a Hunter Biden or if you're somebody from, you know, Cuba or Venezuela or Haiti, then it's bend over backwards. But Americans were literally starving and freezing to death. And the federal government's turning a blind eye. It really bugs me.
Yeah, it's bugging a lot of people. You are right, sir. Let's go to Horse Sense. What's bugging you?
Yes, good morning, Bob. Right around Thanksgiving time, there was an ad on the radio. I believe it was from a gun store, which I love going to gun stores, up in Gainesville, I believe. But they used the computer-generated voice of our president, Donald Trump. And it just didn't sit well. It was a lengthy ad. It was the weirdest thing. I said, how can they get away with that? It just, I don't know. It really bugged me the whole ad. It was not right.
I don't know how that, honestly, how it works legally. Do they say, do they have a disclaimer at the end?
Like, there wasn't. They clarified that it was an AI-generated voice. And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's not the person. I don't know what to tell you. But it got your attention, right? 877-975-9825. Call in now. And, John, what's bugging you?
Hey, good morning, Bob. I tell you what, not that it'll do any good for those out to lunch, but I just hope that when our president-elect for the second time, Donald Trump, takes office, he allows his AG, Pam Bondi, to look into any and all crimes, which we anyone with a brain knows that Biden and Harris and company committed while in office. Oh, Pam Bondi's allowed to look into this and charge them what they need to be charged with. This is ridiculous. I mean, I just want to let the news media know that we know what's been going on.
Yeah, I think, look, if they go after the larger, the macro, okay, where there are, you know, people with agendas and they're using their job to further an agenda, in other words, those who have weaponized or part of the weaponization of government, as part of that investigation, you know, they might be able to get some people to turn, so to speak, and say, yeah, I've got information and work it from that angle, perhaps. All right, call in now, 877-975-9825. I know, you got to take your little gloves off to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Mark. What's bugging you?
Hey, pardon me, Bob. Did Greg say there's flashers down on Newberry Road? That would be a sight to behold. What's bugging me is, this is funny, but starting Monday, November 25th, trying to call into What's Bugging You, I started getting a funny, like, I would call the sky, and there would be a click and then a fast, busy signal. So, and I have no reason to believe it was technical difficulties there. So I called my phone company, and after crawling over broken glass on my elbows to get through their phone tree, I finally get through to an individual, and I'm like, he starts speaking in really fast, unintelligible language. I'm not naming names, but he's from a nation, large nation that starts with the letter I. And I tried to kind of get through and describe the situation. It was a really tough challenge, but there was like three, four, 5 days where I couldn't get through to the sky, and then suddenly, magically, the whole problem disappeared. So it was just really hilarious, and so it was bugging me for a few days, but I'm glad to be back in touch.
Yeah, we're glad you're back, too. We can only block you for so long,
and then we got to let you
through. Is that how it works?
No, I'm just kidding.
Holding somebody without charging them kind of thing?
Yes.
Yeah, we could...
Put you in a holding cell, but...
72 hours, and then we have to... Yeah. Otherwise, it's almost like a chemical restraint. You can't do that.
No.
So, Greg, what's bugging you?
This whole ambassador program the city of Gainesville is deciding to spend $3 million on for 3 years, buying some new trucks, all nice and pretty, paying a company out of state.
Yeah, out of Kentucky.
Yeah. To have people downtown, quote, helping the homeless and driving, being ambassadors for the city of Gainesville. It's like, are you kidding? When will you people learn? Just all we want from you is the basics. Remember they were talking about having a cable company to compete with Cox. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad they ended up not doing that. They always want to do something besides what they should just be doing. We need law enforcement. We need good roads.
You can stop right there and I'd be happy, but go ahead.
That's true. If they would just take care of those two things alone, it'd be great. But it's like they're just always got their hand in something and spending money on some other project. And it's like, just do the basics and get them right first. Don't keep wasting our money and raising our taxes. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I guess Gainesville's not the only one. They actually operate this block by block as the parent company that they contracted with operates actually in six Florida cities, including Jacksonville and Miami. And they've got more than 150 clients nationwide. So you're contracting this out to a company that's out of state to do what would be the most local of local tasks.
And just as you called it on the whole rechargeable scooter program.
Mm-hmm.
There's just dead scooters all over Gainesville.
Yep.
Because they run out of power, and then they're just cluttering the streets with dead scooters.
Yeah.
You always see them on the side of the road, laying on their back. They start to smell after a couple of days, and nobody comes and picks them up.
Those are possums.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Yeah.
Other animals and stuff. Okay.
It is 7:28. Thank you for participating in What's Bugging You, brought to you by Florida Pest Control. Coming up, New York City, full of felonious migrants and Colorado gangs. Details coming up on 97.3 The Sky.
Trending right now on The Sky.
Pam Bondi at the new Top Cop.
We need to overhaul DOJ and the FBI. Let the truth be known.
As it happens.
Additional security assistance for Ukraine.
Launch HIMARS and ATACMS into Russia. That's not exactly a way to de-escalate the situation.
The news station.
We have all this ridiculous regulation. It just makes us tough to grow like we need to grow.
News. Updates every half hour. Breaking news at once on News Talk 97.3. The Sky.
Good morning and welcome. We're making Mondays great. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here and the time check, 7:34. Brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. The Bob Rose Show podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Click on subscribe and you're in. Joe Pardons Hunter. Yep. Crackhead with a gun.
Yep.
Up to nefarious activities, but hey, it is Joe's son.
Yeah.
I just don't know why he lied to begin with about he said he wasn't going to pardon him. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you do that? You're a father. I'd say, I don't know. Anything's possible. I don't know at this point.
Right.
I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, why wouldn't that be good enough?
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, he answered no when he was still a candidate.
Right.
That's before they gave him the stage hook. Said, most of the statements came out in June. I think it was July. Was it July when Kamala kind of
lose track of all that.
The show?
They just kind of moved her right in there and just kind of kicked Joe to the curb.
Yeah. But again, all right. So he's pardoning his son. It's not a shocker to anyone, I don't think.
Yeah.
I just don't know why he lied to begin with. I said back then, and I wasn't the only one, of course. Everybody said, of course he's going to pardon him. Of course he's going to pardon his son. But I got to tell you, in the statement, it's pretty bizarre what he says. And I'll paraphrase some of it for you here. Let's see. Today I signed a pardon for my son Hunter from the day I took office. I said I would not interfere with the Justice Department's decision making, and I kept my word, even as I watched my son being selectively and unfairly prosecuted. Well, what do you mean you kept your word? You just went against your word, and you pardoned him. So don't say you kept your word. You didn't keep your word. You could say, I kept my word until, but instead, look, this was clearly written for him, and it's written quite well. But it really describes the using the judicial system and politics exactly the way it was used against Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He outlines it in a way that they're going after Hunter, apparently, said my son being selectively and unfairly prosecuted without aggravating factors like use in a crime. He didn't use the gun in a crime, so therefore, no big deal.
Getting the gun was the crime. The paperwork was the crime.
Yeah, he didn't do multiple purchases, or he didn't buy the weapon as a straw purchaser. And he said people are almost never brought to trial on felony charges solely because they filled out a gun form. Well, yeah, and nobody's ever been brought to trial for the supposed exaggeration of their property's values,
mm-hmm.
like in Trump, right? I mean, it parallels it.
Oh,
it's interesting.
Yeah.
He said, those who are late paying their taxes because of serious addictions, but paid them back subsequently with interest and penalties, are typically given non-criminal resolutions. That's true, but there was more going on there when it came mm-hmm. to the taxes, too. So, yeah, he was treated differently because it actually was different. Anyway, and then he claims, political opponents in Congress, blah, blah, blah. And he said, we had a perfectly, carefully negotiated plea deal.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, it was very carefully negotiated to basically bear, if you slapped Hunter on the wrist, it would have been a greater penalty than what he agreed to.
Yeah, it was going to cover everything he did and pretty much everything he could do in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about a blanket walk away. Man.
Yeah.
That was a mess.
Yeah. No reasonable person. I love that one. That reminds me of, what was it, James Comey? No reasonable person would take all these established facts against Hillary Clinton and then pursue them legally.
After he presented the case of why she should go to prison.
So he's doing the same. No reasonable person looks at the facts.
Yeah.
Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. Let's go to John. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob and Greg. Long time listener, first time caller. I just have a thought. The pardon specifically alleviates a lot of the consequences of being convicted. It does not remove the conviction, so I don't see why they can't use that as ground to stand on to go after everybody else in the Biden family that's tied to a lot of those crimes.
It's possible they could.
That's interesting.
I don't know how it works when you talk about Joe being a co-conspirator and stuff like that, whether that impacts it. And then you have to look at it. Is it worth it? What is the outcome? And then, of course, if you don't go after them, then the same thing happens, what we've talked about for years, is, hey, if you reach a certain level of power and you have powerful or wealthy friends, the laws don't really apply to you. There is no, shame and punishment and penalty, It seems like if you're at a high enough level, almost regardless of what you do, you walk away. I mean, I hearken back to Lois Lerner and the IRS, and it was clear that she was targeting Tea Party groups, slow walking their tax-free applications and stuff like that, or denying them. It was very clear. She retired with her full large government pension. So, yeah, it is. I got to tell you, it's one of those things where you say, is it worth it to go after these folks?
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if you never go after any of these folks, then do you expect the outcome? Are these people to, they're going to continue?
Sure. Nothing will change.
Their behavior. Yeah, nothing will change. So, mm-hmm. Hey, I did want to bring up New York City. That's right. I got a couple of New York City stories. And, they're not good ones. First of all, you've got a bunch of folks that have committed felonies that are in New York City. And here's the data. Over 58,000 illegal migrants in New York City are felons or facing criminal charges. And there are about 670,000 of them nationwide. Wow, two-thirds. Two-thirds of a million. I mean, 670,000, that's, you know, like seven or eight football stadiums full of people.
Wow.
And you know that this wouldn't have happened if Biden didn't open the borders. Mm-hmm. Police in New York City also arrested two suspected members of the gang out of, these are the folks.
From Colorado?
Aurora, Colorado. They're the ones linked to the violence at the apartment complex. The suspects allegedly are connected to the Venezuelan gang. Well, they are part of that gang. And they identified a couple of them. They're 23 years old and 25 years old, respectively. And New York City's gang task force and officials with Homeland Security arrested the pair following a major credit card scam and drug trafficking bust. So that's just two. Okay. You've also got the 58,000 in New York City that have either committed felonies or are facing criminal charges.
Wow.
And
but Americans commit crimes too, though. So this is nothing to worry about, says Brandon.
Yeah, except right. that these folks are not supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. In September, Breitbart reported that families were fleeing Colorado apartment buildings populated by Venezuelan gang members. Following the report, uncovered documents show law enforcement officials warnings about Aurora, Colorado, was under threat from Tren de Aragua well before the reports of its presence in several apartment complexes. So law enforcement knew about it, yet no action was taken. The Democrat governor denied those facts surrounding the issue, but they are facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't deny the, you know, the opinion. He didn't. They denied the facts. One document, for instance, showed that law enforcement officials discovered the Venezuelan gang had chosen the Denver area to serve as their U.S. headquarters because of the state's extremely lenient immigration and sanctuary policies.
That's a nice way to put it.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Even a Democrat is irritated with pardon. Really? Hmm. Representative Greg Stanton, Democrat out of Arizona, quickly condemned President Joe Biden after pardoning his son. Joe Biden announced the pardon, convicted of three felony gun and tax charges and facing numerous other legal issues and intense congressional scrutiny, despite years insisting he would not pardon his son or commute his sentence. So Congressman Stanton wasted little time criticizing the president's decision to defy his public pledges and pardon his son, possibly making him the first Democrat in Congress to do so. He said, quote, "I respect President Biden, but I think he got this one wrong. This wasn't a politically motivated prosecution. Hunter committed felonies and was convicted by a jury of his peers." That doesn't go along with what the president said were politically motivated targetings of his son. All right. We'll get on to bigger things like RFK Jr. Thank God for Maha.
Oh, I love Mahi.
Maha.
Oh.
Making America healthy again.
Awesome.
So it's Maha Maha.
Maha.
It is 7:45. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a Monday, and we're trying to make it great on 97.3 The Sky. Tariffs never work. Tariffs are horrible. Tariffs are bad. Don't do it. Looks like a tariff, threat of a tariff worked once again. You're welcome. Oh, my gosh. This is crazy. 7:49 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Don't forget the Bob Rose Show, available on podcasts wherever you normally download your podcasts. Click subscribe, and there you'll have it all. So, yeah, the threat The threat of a tariff can be a very effective tool. President Trump has utilized that before. Sometimes he's had to actually put them in place. But there are many that poo-poo them no matter what. Well, guess what? Here is more proof that just the idea, a threat of a tariff, can be effective. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau promised President-elect Donald Trump that Canada would toughen controls over the long, undefended joint border. That, according to a senior Canadian official. Trudeau flew to Florida on Friday to have dinner with Trump, who has promised to slap tariffs on Canadian imports unless Ottawa prevents migrants and drugs from crossing the frontier. Canada sends 75% of all goods and service exports to the United States, and tariffs would badly hurt their economy. Public Safety Minister Dominic Leblanc, who sat at the head of the table with Trudeau and Trump, said the two men discussed additional security measures that Canada would be introducing. Additional drones, additional police, helicopters, going to redeploy personnel. We believe the border is secure, but they're going to double up on all that. It's important, I think, to show Canadians and the Americans that we're stepping up in the in a visible and muscular way. And that's exactly what we're going to. I didn't know brushing your perfect hair built muscles, but perhaps that's the case.
You do it all the time. That repetition, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, that's Trudeau's.
Muscle memory, that kind of thing.
There's Trudeau's secret right there. Mm-hmm. No, here we have it. Oh, tariffs. No, you don't know. Tariffs are bad. Just the threat of a tariff has gotten them to react in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be better partners at the border. We're going to do similar things with Mexico. They're going to be better partners at the border. That's going to be part of the plan to secure that border that was previously secured until Biden opened it wide open with the stroke of a pen and executive orders. So there you have it. Once again, all the crybabies that talk about tariffs are wrong again, or at least in this instance, very wrong. And then from the old rehash department, and you'll never learn your lesson, appears the bromance between George Clooney and Barack Obama is reportedly on the rocks.
Oh, no.
Love on the rocks. Yep.
Ain't no big surprise.
That relationship has become frigid.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. The Hollywood star said to be furious with Obama. Allegedly, according to another source, he feels like he was set up as the patsy to end Biden's career and then absorb the blowback following Kamala Harris's election defeat. Yeah, here's what the an industry source told Radar Online. George is furious with Obama for disappearing after the election disaster and leaving him holding the bag for pushing the plan with his Hollywood pals.
Okay.
An additional unnamed source said George feels duped and vows he's not going to be anyone's political water boy anymore.
Okay.
Congratulations. You have graduated into a very smart decision there. Clooney, of course, was a major player in the 2024 presidential election cycle. He wrote that New York Times op-ed calling for Biden to give up his reelection bid. Yep, that carried a lot of weight. A lot of people talked about that. Given Clooney's friendship with Obama, many pundits assume the op-ed was written not only with Obama's approval, but at Obama's behest. I would say, yeah, he was probably a major influencing factor.
Yeah.
And that way, Obama didn't have to stick his neck out there.
But it was so interesting. You had the same people like, what, in a how much span of time going, he's sharp, never seen him better, he's a genius, he's brilliant, he runs the meetings, and then they're kicking to the curb, like, in the next sentence. Same people.
Oh, yeah.
Same people.
Well, because some decisions were made behind the scenes, and after Biden stepped aside, Clooney endorsed Kamala Harris and even recorded a commercial aimed at guilt-tripping working-class men to vote for her.
like, oh, yeah. So your average working blue-collar guy is going to go, well, George Clooney said, I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure there was one role he played in where I think he wore work boots for a scene or two.
Yeah, his first his first TV show, he was a handyman, and that was about it. So, yeah. He actually did real work.
So, anyway, George Fields, he stepped up and took a bullet for the team, and now everyone's complaining about the bloodbath.
Huh.
Lots of celebrities like Beyonce were on the campaign trail pumping up Kamala, but George became the face of the Hollywood liberals by directly calling for Biden to end his campaign and throwing the whole process into chaos.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, they do have influence, and they wielded it generously.
But in hindsight, you have to wonder how many of these lefty experts really thought she was the one. I mean, maybe it would have been too messy to come after and put somebody else in, but I don't know.
Allegedly, apparently, from what I can gather, the plan was to get both of them out of there somehow.
Yeah.
But I guess that maybe they waited too long. There should have been a primary process.
Yeah, true.
It didn't go down like that for various reasons. So they were, I mean, stuck with her. Yeah. And that's what many of them allegedly said, basically that they became stuck with her. And they tried to put lipstick on her and make it seem passable and plausible. But she didn't help.
No, she didn't.
She didn't help. She didn't. And I mean, you couldn't come up with anything with substance. You were afraid to have real interviews with anyone. Talk about a person who clearly is not in agreement with their own convictions, I would guess, or just not
or
capable
don't have any,
of expressing. Yeah,
yeah,
or don't have any.
Hmm. But here we are in a much better place very soon.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr., President-elect Donald Trump's pick to serve as Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, gave thanks to God for his family and the success of the Make America Healthy Again movement on Thanksgiving. We'll dig into that a little bit deeper coming up on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Stay warm.